Last week, we just did a brief introduction to the subject of who is my neighbor. And this is a very important question. And as we get more into these sessions over the next 1 or 2 weeks, how vital it is to understanding this would become more exposed, or we begin to understand it in a more clearer light as we progress. Last week, just by way of foundation, I shared from two portions of scripture. The one was in Luke 25, and the other was from the book of Mark, which and also in the book of Matthew 19, the question of the rich young ruler. And in these both stories or narratives, the question was, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the answer for both those questions was the two great commandments. The first was that you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second commandment was you must love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, if you do this, you will inherit eternal life. So what you can clearly see is that loving God is not the only part. You also have to love your neighbor in order to inherit eternal life. And eternal life is the life of the kingdom that we live on earth. That is why in the story of the rich young ruler, you will find that when Jesus said to him, you must sell all and follow me, the young ruler found it very difficult to do that. And Jesus said, it is very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. But remember, the question is, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So the kingdom of God and eternal life are inextricably linked. But the kingdom of God has certain very important principles attached to it. And so for us to see the outworking of the life of God, eternal life, on the earth, we have to understand certain key principles that are linked to the kingdom of God. Now, to the Jew under the law, his neighbor was his fellow countryman. I briefly alluded to this in the previous session. So the law that applied to how he treated his fellow brethren was different from how he treated foreigners or strangers. So under the law, his treatment of his brothers was separate from the way in which he would treat foreigners and strangers. So the whole issue of who is my neighbor was limited just to those who were Jews. So let me just give you a few examples of the difference in treatment to your fellow brother and to a foreigner. Under the law, the debt of your fellow brother was canceled, but not of a foreigner. In Deuteronomy 15, verse 1, at the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release of debt. And this is the form of the release. Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor, listen to the word, to his neighbor, shall release it. He shall not require it of his neighbor or his brother. So, in other words, the word neighbor or the word brother alluded to those who were of the same country or those who were regarded as Jews, because it is the Lord's release. But verse 3 says, of a foreigner you may require it. So the law that applied to the Jew was different from the law that applied to the foreigner. Of a foreigner you may require it, but you shall give up your claim to what is owed to your brother. So in terms of the debt, for your brother or your fellow countryman, you could release the debt, but for a foreigner, you could claim the debt. Under the law, only a brother can be set as a king and not as a foreigner. Deuteronomy 17 verse 15 says, you shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses, one from among your brethren you shall set as a king over you. You may not set a foreigner over you who is not your brother. So in terms of kingship, only the one who was part of their countrymen could be set as a king over them. So the whole issue of rulership, territory, having dominion was basically only those who were part of their countrymen. No foreigner could be set over them. Under the law, no interest would be charged or usury was charged to your fellow brother, but it was charged to a foreigner. Deuteronomy 23:19, you shall not charge interest to your brother, interest on money or food or anything that is lent out at interest. To a foreigner, you may charge interest, but to your brother, you shall not charge interest, that the Lord your God may bless you in all to which you set your hand in the land which you are entering to possess. So these laws regulated relationships amongst the brothers who were regarded as Jews. But under grace, or to those who have accepted Jesus Christ in faith, these laws change or they are abolished. The Gentiles, remember, who were regarded as unbelievers, who were regarded as heathens, who were regarded as not being part of the commonwealth of Israel. The Gentiles who were regarded as foreigners, when they receive Christ, they become part of the commonwealth of Israel. Now, we who are non-Jews are also regarded as Gentiles. So Ephesians 2 verse 11 also applies to us. Therefore, remember that you, meaning you and I, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision. So the Jew who was circumcised would call the Gentile who is obviously uncircumcised, they would call them the uncircumcision. And it says, you were called the uncircumcision by what is the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth. So without Christ, you are not part of the circumcision who were regarded as the Jews, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and at that time, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, verse 13, in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So the whole issue of the cross or the shedding of blood, and by faith when we believe in Christ Jesus, we have been brought or made part of the circumcision, even though we may not be physically circumcised, but in our hearts we are circumcised, and therefore become part of the commonwealth. So we are not regarded now as strangers or foreigners. Even if Ephesians 2 verse 19 says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners. So remember, the laws that apply to the foreigners under the law of Moses no longer applies, because we are now under grace, or we are in Christ. So therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So as brothers in Christ, we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but we are fellow citizens. Now here's the question. What about those who are without Christ? What about those who are regarded as unbelievers, or those who had been regarded as not being of the faith, or those who had been regarded as not being saints? Would we who are now in Christ regard them as neighbors? This is the question, because in Christ you have now become part of the commonwealth, but you still have neighbors in this world who are not part of Christ. They are unbelievers. They are not of the faith. So, in the question of who is my neighbor under grace, is there a change of the law? Because remember, Christ came to fulfill the law, who was full of grace and truth. Now that we are part of the commonwealth of Israel, does it mean that we treat the foreigner and the stranger different because we are also part of the brotherhood? So, in the parable of the prodigal, sorry, of the Good Samaritan, Jesus uses this parable to answer a question that the lawyer asked, and I alluded to it in the previous session. And the question was, what do I do to inherit eternal life? And he answered the question correctly. He says, Jesus asked him what is written in the law, and he said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, etc., and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have answered correctly or rightly, do this and you will live. But the lawyer, remember, understood those commandments in a limited sense. He understood it according to the law, or he understood it according to the old covenant, and he wanted to justify himself. Luke 10, 29. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and this is the question, and who is my neighbor? Because according to the law, he understood who his neighbor was. His neighbor was his fellow brethren, or those who were regarded as Jews. So to justify is to prove yourself innocent or to prove that you are right. It is in this context that Jesus now gives the parable of the Good Samaritan. Luke 10:30. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, Jesus would use parables to emphasize or explain moral, ethical, and spiritual truths. The parables were used to help people to see and to understand. That's why in Matthew 13:13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. So to the lawyer, who was an expert in the law of Moses, his understanding of neighbor was governed by the law of Moses. In Galatians 3:24, the law clearly is our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But the lawyer was trying to justify himself according to the law and not according to faith. This is a key aspect of understanding, receiving perspective of who is your neighbor. So Jesus said in the parable that there's a certain man is going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. So it is almost certain that this man is a Jew, since he was leaving Jerusalem and he was going to Jericho. Now, to understand this, and obviously Jesus is speaking to the lawyer, who is a Jew and is familiar with the geographical location and is familiar with what Jesus is is saying. When in the time of Jesus, there were three main provinces. It was Judea, it was Galilee, and it was Samaria. And people will often, the Jews rather, would choose not to go through Samaria in order to go to Galilee. Galilee was at the top end, and Judea was at the bottom end, and in the center you had Samaria. So in order to get from Judea to Galilee or vice versa, you would have to go through Samaria. And we all know the story of John chapter 4, where Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. That is a separate aspect altogether. But the point was, people would go from Jerusalem to Jericho to meet Galileans, so that they could avoid going through Samaria to go back to Judea. And that was an issue because the Jew did not want to relate to the Samaritan. So here's the setting of the entire thing, that for this man to really understand what it means to inherit eternal life, Jesus is using something that he totally can sort of relate to, in that the man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and it was a path that was used to avoid Samaria. And Samaria was a place where the Samaritans lived, and they were regarded as an outcast or a rejected people. They would not be regarded as a neighbor. So it is ironic that the road from Jerusalem to Jericho was actually regarded as the way of blood because of the immense pain that people suffered on this road, and because robbers would would often attack people, the road became known as the Way of Blood because blood was shed on this road. Now, ironically, that road is called the Way of Blood because the blood that was shed by the victims and the robbers. But Jesus Christ is the way, and he shed his blood for the remission of our sins. Christ's blood was not just shed for the Jews. It was shed for the whole world, including the Samaritans. And his blood was shed so that we could have eternal life. While the lawyer understood the law of the two great commandments of loving God and loving your neighbor, his definition was limited. Because those who have faith in Christ Jesus now function under a royal law of loving your neighbor without partiality. And this means that you would even love those that are not part of your brotherhood. They would have to be treated the same simply because Christ's blood was not just shed just for the brethren. It was shed for the whole world. Please join me next week as we would elaborate more on the issue of partiality. The Lord bless you. Amen.